Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. The hour I first believed,
when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining eyes, the sun. Sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we
wondering why I'm up here speaking today, and it's because my husband wasn't supposed to be here today. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I think it just picked me up. Yes, I'm getting the thumbs up from Sean. Thank you. Daniel wasn't supposed to be here today. He was supposed to be gone to Ohio, and he was supposed to go enjoy a Cleveland Browns game, but he was going to go to, I'm just saying. But things happened as he had not planned, and he is here, which I'm happy about. But when we were talking, Daniel and I were talking in the car, I don't know, after you knew you were going several weeks ago, and it was one of those rare times where the kids weren't interrupting us when we were talking, and I just told him about something on my heart it was really birthed out of something that had happened between some folks in ministry in Romania, and I just kind of started giving him my heart, what God was laying on my heart about this, and he said, "Will you share that the Sunday I'm gone?" And I was like, "If you want me to, I will." And he said, I want you to share that Sunday. And then when he said he wasn't going to Ohio, I was like, yay, I don't have to share this Sunday. He was like, "Hold on now, pray about that, because the Lord put that on your heart." And I was like, "Yeah, all right." I prayed for a couple of days, and I said, "You know what, I really do feel like I'm supposed to share this, because I think it's something that I see played out in missions and in churches. I'm not specifically say in this church, but in past experiences. And I feel like this is popping or something. Is it? I can just stay here. I don't wander and like fall off the front like you do. But every Sunday I'm like tense. Is he going to fall off this Sunday? Because he likes to get on that little strip right there in the front. So there was a time in ministry before Daniel was in my life. I was living in Romania at the time, and it was a really popular time for the prayer of Jabez. I'm sure many of y'all remember that. Like, you could go any Christian bookstore and buy anything you wanted, and it had the prayer of Jabez on it. And the Lord spoke to my heart during that time and said, I want you to read all of First Chronicles. And I said, I don't want to read First Chronicles. That's what you read when you want to go to sleep. That is boring to me, all that stuff in the front, like you have to kind of get through all of that. I'm just being real with you. So it was just an interesting time, because I really did not want to read that. And so I didn't for a while. And then I felt very convicted that I really needed to read Chronicles, and so I read it in great detail and was, you know, studying the words in it. It was interesting during that period of time. I would read the Bible in Romanian, and I still do that sometimes, because it gives a lot of richness when you know another language to see what it was translated to in that language and the verb they use. Because not, you know, translating stuff from one language to another can get a little squirrely sometimes. There's not always the same verb or the same noun, and I've seen that happen many times in Romanian. And so I was reading this in Chronicles, and it hit me why the Lord wanted me to read that, because of what was going on in ministry and in the church I was in at the time. He appointed people to do certain jobs in Chronicles. If, like, you read all of the First Chronicles, he appoints people. There's just a few I named here. I'm not going to get into all of it, because in detail it tells you what, like, the Levites did. They were priests, but they also did other things. And then there were singers, and there were gatekeepers. And I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. And that kind of rolls into what he tells us in the New Testament, that we're one in the body. And so the verse that that I really wanted to focus on today, and as a church, I know y'all like to stand and read the word, so we can stand and read together, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You may be seated. So when I look at that verse, I think about when the Lord initially called me, and he called me through James 1:27, and it was one of those situations where when I read the verse, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Most of you are going to think, because of what, you know, Lord led me to do in Romania, that I was the most impacted by the caring for orphans and widows in their distress. And while that's true, the part of the verse that really got me was to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That is a whole lot harder to do than it sounds, because the world is out to pollute you. If you're living, you know, the word tells us in many different ways that you can be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. And in this verse specifically, I felt convicted that if I was going to become a missionary, I had to leave some of the things that I was doing in life. I had to leave certain friends and certain lifestyles. And that proved to be a very, very lonely time for me while I was in graduate school, when I was living in Columbia, South Carolina. My roommate, Margaret, had met and then ended up moving to Raleigh, North Carolina. She had met a guy in Raleigh who she ended up
Marion, and they've been married 21 years now, and I begged her not to marry him. This was a time in life where the Lord really showed me that he was all I needed. And then the orphans and widows in their distress became such a burden on my heart that I was so afraid of the Lord during that time that I was afraid that if I didn't move to Romania that he would have struck me straight down. I was very fearful of the Lord because I knew that I was being called to go to Romania. Now, no two people's calling necessarily will look the same, even if you're called to the same thing. I mean, there's other people in Romania, other churches who have pastors that they do everything a little bit different. And it wasn't necessarily something that I was on my radar screen at the time, that people become territorial. People can become territorial in ministry. And when I saw it played out for the first time, I was like, what's wrong with y'all? We're all supposed to be Christians. I mean, aren't we supposed to be working together for the same cause, the glory of Christ? I don't understand this. Why are you, what is the territorialism over? And I thought, I think over the years what I've learned is that it becomes an issue of not understanding or wanting to understand or appreciating, I don't know, or all of those together, what the Lord is asking someone else to do or what their burden is for. I don't feel any obligation to try to emotionally, hook people for what I'm doing in Romania. God's either going to burden you for it or he's not. I don't have to do anything about that. I don't feel like I don't play the job of the Holy Spirit. Some of you feel that same way about ministries you're called to. Think about all the things this church does. Some people are very passionate about Family Promise. Some people are very passionate about the food bank. Some people are very passionate about cancer support. That's a good thing. We can serve a lot of different needs by being passionate about what the Lord has asked us to do. Some people have a calling that they just very humbly take care of someone who's sick or ill. Some people have a calling where they're taking care of children that aren't theirs biologically, or maybe not their children. Whatever that looks like, the important issue is that you're being obedient to what the Lord has asked you to do. And David, King David, in 1 Chronicles 23:8, I've always found it very interesting because the Lord gave a very important lesson to me when I was reading 1 Chronicles. And that is that God used King David to fund the work of another ministry. He told him in 1 Chronicles 23:8 that he would not build the temple, that too much blood had been shed. He had shed too much blood. Too much blood was on his hands. He knew he would not build the temple, but David did not whine or complain or ask why he had to be the one to do it. He just did it. He funded it. And he knew better than to question a holy, all-powerful God. And that was such a lesson to me then, and it's still a lesson to me now, that when God asks somebody to do something, who am I to question whether or not it's worthy? Is that a worthy cause? That is not my job to question it. That is the Lord and the Lord's only. And I'm really glad that Joseph didn't question his calling. My kids said about 2 years ago in the car, and kids can be very insightful. That's an understatement, but they can be very insightful about certain things. But Elisha was like, oh, yeah, Joseph was Jesus' stepdaddy. And I was like, what? He said he was Jesus' stepdad. He wasn't Jesus' dad. God was Jesus' dad. And I said, oh, my goodness, you're right. You're right. Joseph's calling was to raise Jesus. What if he had said, I'm not supplying for this child. I'm not going to take her in. I'm not going to give what should be rightfully my biological child's inheritance to a child that's not biologically mine. He didn't do that. Now, I suspect that angel showing up had a lot to do with him getting it right. And, the interesting thing was the angel showed up to her, the angel showed up to him, and they got familiar with this angel. So when that angel showed up and told them that they had to leave, after we assumed Jesus would have been about 2 years old at that time, had to leave because of what Herod was going to do to all of the boys, they didn't question it. They got out. They were used to, at that point, they were like, no, we got to listen. This angel knows what he's talking about. So it is interesting to me to look at the life of Joseph and say his ministry was to raise a child that was not his own, to completely fund that child, to take care of that child. You know, we know they were concerned about him because when he accidentally got left at the temple, they went flying back for him. And, you know, I can imagine the conversation I'd be having with my child if they had stayed in where they weren't supposed to be. So he acted as the rightful parent of Joseph. But as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, what was going on when Jesus was a kid? Because all creation knew he was God. Were they like just dumbfounded when they'd find him like scratching the belly of a bear? Or were they dumbfounded when they would watch all the animals gather at his feet, or when he would look at a butterfly and they would all light on his hand? I don't know, but all creation worships him. So I wonder what it was like for him as a father to be obedient to his calling and to just look at the wonder that was happening before him. We don't know that. This is all conjecture on my part because that's not in the Word. But I wonder what kind of things were going on. I mean, did they know at some point? Did he ever tell them what was going to happen with the grapes, the wine, and the juice, the water being turned to wine? And were they like, Joseph, stay away from the grapes, stay away from the vineyard? You know, what did they know? I've always thought about that. But it doesn't matter what they knew. Joseph especially was faithful to raise him and to raise him as his own. And I think it's really important for us as we minister to other people and as we, you know, work together as a church. I think it is so super important when we look at Ephesians 4:1 to, and I had Daniel look up that word calling in the Greek. I wanted to make sure it was a noun because, you know, that it could have been a verb and was translated into a noun, but it was a noun. When it says live worthy of the calling you have received, that part that says can be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. I mean, I don't think it gets much clearer than that, how we're to treat one another. It doesn't get much clearer than that. Patient, humble, treating one another in love. One of the things that I know about ministry and why people are called is everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. You don't know what happened in somebody's story that led them to feel burdened to help the people they help. So to say that something is not important because it's not your heart's not burdened for it, you know, that's just not the heart of God. The heart of God is to treat one another in love and to be humble and to be patient. And that is, and, you know, I want to reiterate, this is not a message like Daniel didn't send me up here to speak to y'all because something went down. That is not what happened. There was something that went down between some ministries in Romania that the Lord prompted me to do some studying on these words and to look for this. And I think make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace is a great way to end it. Because if you're not one in the Spirit, what are you as a witness? What are we as a witness in this church if we're not one in the Spirit? What are we as a witness? We don't have one if we're not one in the Spirit. And I just, you know, I think that the love that we show when we do an outreach. Yesterday, there was a lot of love and respect I felt like that was communicated in that outreach. People were respected and loved. I'm referring to the toy giveaway, by the way. I felt like there was a lot of love communicated in that. And there was no, I felt a tinge of, at one point, of, do you really need this? When I was helping people load stuff in the car, and the Lord was quick to say, you don't know their story. You do not know their story. You can't look at somebody's brand new Ford F-150 when they're putting toys in the car and going, what are you doing here? And judge, it's just not my job to do. That's between them and the Lord. And we don't know that that could be us. I mean, I was talking to Miss Sylvia this morning. People can lose their job, and if you haven't done well with budgeting your money, all in one day you can end up being homeless. A sickness, one illness. I have seen many, many people end up destitute over an illness. And I think, you know, they have said, I felt judged, I felt criticized by my family for because things had been said and done. I don't ever want that to be the case. I just want to love people. I just want to love them where they're at, and watch the Lord change them. Because one of the things that was interesting, I got saved when I was in graduate school to be a social worker, and we were given a very, very humanistic perspective on counseling. But I didn't believe any of it, because at that point, I had learned by the time I finished graduate school, I can't change anybody. I can't make anybody change. Only the Lord can do that. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. It is not my job. It is not your job. It is the job. Our job is to love people, to love them where they are, and let the Lord love them through us so they want to change for Him and because of Him. So I'm going to end on that note, because that's really all I had to say. And I praise the Lord for reminding me of First Chronicles all those years ago. And I had pulled this study Bible out, and I was showing Daniel, I had written all kinds of things in it. And to be honest with you, I don't really know what was going on in ministry during that time. But I do know that God's Word, when you consume it, never comes back void. And He always uses those messages then and for later. So thank y'all.